This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The Bible tells us that we're blessed if we have a quiver full of kids. Now, a quiver full of kids would be at least six kids, because that's what you'd want to have in terms of arrows in your quiver. The Bible also references our children as arrows that we're going to send out to a world that we've never seen. The problem is that we're facing a world right now that is so corrupt, that is so upside down, that is so pressurized not only with the spirit of the world, but the flesh and also the devil. All three working against, cooperatively working against, to conspire against the future of our children. So, some might say, well, you know what? I just don't want to have any children. Do you know that there are a lot of Generation Zers and even millennials out there that say, I don't want any kids? Did you know that the child birth rate in America has now plummeted beyond the level to sustain the nation? Did you know that? It is absolutely true. People are not having kids. The same is true in the entire Western world, believe it or not. A lot of people are looking at this and they're saying, how in the world is the West ever going to sustain itself? And we're supposedly the Christian West. Well, people have their reasons why they're not having kids, and one of the reasons is that they're afraid. The same kind of reason that an awful lot of people, young people, are not getting married. They're not getting married because they're afraid. And the sociologists call it the failure to launch. But how about if the children that we're raising also are part of that generation that are feeling the sense of, I just can't launch. I'm going to have to be home. I'm going to stay home till I'm 30, till I'm 40. I'm never going to get right with the rest of the world. I'm never going to be able to get out there. And they're worried by fear. And so guess what? Anxiety is taking hold on our young people everywhere, even at young ages. And suicide rates are increasing. But that's not all, friends. Even in Christian homes. Yes, Christian homes, a war is raging. It really is. Children are rising up, as Jesus said would happen, against their parents, because this is the end of the age. Children are rising up against their parents. Sometimes that rising up is a very outrageous kind of expression to where they're actually going to betray their parents. But most often now, the kind of betrayal and the kind of rising up that's taking place is just belligerence. It's rebellion. It's all kinds of behaviors that are destructive, that are unnerving to mom, to dad, to grandparents, and to everybody around. How in the world are we supposed to raise up godly children, teens, in such a time as this? That's what we're going to talk about here on Viewpoint today, and I'm glad that you've joined us. This conversation is always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Our guest today says there was a time in her life when all three of her teens and young adult children were in the pit of hell. There must have been a lot of screaming and hollering down there as the flames kept up. They continually chose to travel down the dark roads of the enemy into which the world lured them. So she says, if your child, adoptive child, grandchild, or other young loved one is making self-destructive choices that have left his or her future in peril, you can still find the hope and the tools you need to fight hard. Don't let another day pass, she says. Begin your battle for them and with them today. And that's what we're going to do with our special guest, Lane Craft, from Florida, all the way from deep Mississippi. She speaks with a combination of a Florida and Mississippi accent, and she brings to us the book, The Parent's Battle Plan, Warfare Strategies to Win Back Your Prodigal. Lane, it's so good to have you on the program.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here.
Well, you write with a passion, And the reason you had a passion is because you have a lot of experience in this endeavor, don't you?
I do. You know, at the time, never dreamed that all of those broken hearts that a mama had would one day help thousands of parents, you know, navigate through the challenges.
Well, indeed. You had three kids. And every one of them just about drove you to distraction. All kinds of things that occurred in their lives, things that you would have never, ever, 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 ever dreamed they would have been involved in, attitudes they would have never had. So when does this assault start coming on so that you can notice it as a mom or a dad?
Well, yes, you know, we all anticipate having a family after we get married. And
right.
We don't, you know, when we find out we're pregnant, we don't say, oh, I'm sure this is going to be a terrible experience. No, we say, oh, this is so exciting. And you think of all the dreams and expectations you have for them. And,
right.
You know, we did the same thing. We were so excited. We had three children in 3 years. And what we didn't know, that equaled three teenagers at one time. And it was quite challenging. But, you know, I think personally I began to see a big change in my eldest in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a terrible experience at a very nice private school based on Christian principles.
Uh-huh.
And looking back, I probably should have done more through the system. But one day he was walking through the house with his boxers on a Saturday, and he was covered in bruises.
Mm.
And I said, Stephen, where in the world did you get those bruises? What bruises, Mother? Here we go, right? What bruises? And, you know, he's black and blue from head to toe. And I was like, Stephen, really, how did you get those? And he said, well, supposed an initiation, the first week of school, they take you in the bathroom and beat the pulp out of you. And I'm like, Stephen, why didn't you tell us? So I believe with everything in me, he was an introvert. He was such a kind-hearted child. That probably scared him into a lot of things to bend into the culture there, and to it just started a downward spiral.
Uh-huh.
And another thing that happened to Stephen also in that same year is a friend whose dad was a doctor in our town took him up to the third story of their home and showed Stephen porn for the first time.
Oh, my.
And Stephen says that that was his, he believes with everything in him, that that was the enemy's gate to get into him. And just so you know, it took 15 years of Stephen to make some terrible choices and go through some really dark periods of his life before God came through.
All right, but you had two others.
I did.
They went through similar kinds of, delivered you to a kind of almost a feeling of eternity for a few years.
Absolutely. Lawson is my other son's middle child, and he kind of followed in his brother's footsteps. And then my sweet daughter had a different challenge. She was suffering from a dark depression.
We'll talk about those things after this break. Again, friends, the Parents' Battle Plan, Warfare Strategies to Win Back Your Prodigal. You see, we've qualified now our guest as an expert witness. Yours truly has gone through it as well. So we have two expert witnesses to come before you about this battle plan. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. A viewpoint concerning our kids is determining destiny, will determine destiny. And one of the viewpoints that we need to have that's so critical, and our guest today and I share this conviction, and that is that no matter what we're facing with our kids, there is one fact to which every single one of us has to cling during the lowest times of chaos, the greatest challenges and that is our children belong to God before they were lent to us. In other words, you and I are given a trusteeship of these kids. We're deputized. Moms and dads are deputized by God to do his will, to be an expression, his hand extended to these kids. Not the government, God. And he has deputized you and me. And this is the reason why the scripture says that children should obey their parents in the Lord. For this is right. It's the first commandment with promise. So we see exactly why God said that, because parents are God's hand extended, deputized to raise these children to honor the Lord. And what if they don't, though? What if we do our best to train them, and yet they slide off the track? Maybe they actually run off the track. Maybe they leap off the track. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to give up? And if not, what are we going to do? Because the battle now is on. So, Lane, you've written this wonderful book, The Parent's Battle Plan, Warfare Strategies to Win Back Your Prodigal. And I want to make it available to our guests here today, or to our listeners. Your gift of $13 or more, friends, is going to put the book in your hands. And I think it's going to be very, very encouraging to you. And so I urge you to get a copy of it. We need all the help we can get these days. We really do. And my wife and I have been in and through this. We had three daughters. And, you have your various upsides and downsides there. None of them, while we were raising them, ever went off the deep edge. Oh, but we've seen things happen since then. You see, once a parent, always a parent. And then you have grandparenthood. And then you have great-grandparenthood. We've got 10 grandchildren, and we've got 2 great-grandchildren now. I don't know how great they really are, but they call them great-grandchildren, you see. And so we have a responsibility, and actually our role and our responsibility before God is not diminishing, it's increasing. And the challenges go on. So here's the book, friends, a helpline and a hope line for you, The Parent's Battle Plan. $13, we'll put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, I want to let you know what's coming here, because as Lane and I continue to talk, she has another book that goes along with this called Warfare Parenting, A Daily Battle Plan to Fight for Your Child. It's a day-by-day, like a devotional, day-by-day, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the program and offer that as well. And when we do, if you get both of these books, the postage and handling for the second book is only going to be $2, not $6, $2. Okay, so Lane, you had three kids. They all went off the deep end in one way or the other. You use the word prodigal. What does that word mean to you?
Yes, well, the word prodigal now has such a wide scope because, you know, it can encompass mental illness, depression, anxiety. You know, we think of prodigal and we think, oh, drugs, alcohol. But, you know, our kids are now with our technology and our iPhones and our internet, there are just so many things that our children can get lured into.
Well, they're influences. Everybody wants to be an influencer, but what they don't realize is they are the ones being influenced.
Yes, getting sucked up, truly, mm-hmm. they really are, yeah. into this dark abyss. And so, you know, I believe that a prodigal for a believing Christian Christ follower is a child that is not on the path that you know God would have them on.
Right. You know, it's a dangerous thing to get off the path. In my earlier days, I did an awful lot of hiking and climbing, particularly in California. Climbed some of the largest peaks in the country, 14,000 feet, did a lot of rock climbing and so on. And one of the things that you certainly don't want to do is get off the path. And it's very easy to do sometimes because you get into rocky areas and the pathway is not clear anymore. And if you get off the path, you can get lost. And if the weather turns bad, you can be in deep, deep trouble. Well, that's what's happening to our kids. They get off the path. They don't know the way back. The weather doesn't turn very good out there in the environment of our time. And they get overwhelmed. They take on all kinds of emotional and spiritual problems. And whether they ever find the way back then becomes problematic for a mom and dad, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And in that time I was there, it took Stephen, my eldest prodigal, 15 years to get back on track. And I can tell you there were many nights that I cried, and there were many days I would ask God, where are you? When can you bring him back to his senses? So mm-hmm. I know many of your listeners today may be in that position right now. If it's not a child, it's a grandchild or a loved one, that they are literally standing in the gap hoping that God will touch their child. And I love to call it the meantime. You know, we offer prayer to God. Uh-huh. We say, God, please, you know, please turn my child around. And then the answer, and in the between that is the meantime. And, mm-hmm. and that's when the enemy can get in your mind, and you can get discouraged or feel defeated. And that's where you've really got to press in and just go to God and say, God, I'm going to stand here and be a warrior parent. I'm going to stand in the gap expecting you at your perfect time to bring this child back to their home and in the way that they should be.
You know, we have a friend who many, many years ago, when she came to the Lord, she believed so strongly in prayer. She made a list of all her prayer requests and put them on her refrigerator door. And they were all numbered. So as prayers were answered, she would mark those off as answered. So anybody coming by her refrigerator would see, wow. That prayer is answered. Well, what about prayers for the kids? What about prayers for an errant husband? What about these things? Well, one day the errant husband saw that he was the only one left. All the other prayers had been answered. And he said, whoa. Well, guess what? He fell on his face before the Lord, repented, came to Christ, and they've been longtime friends of ours for, I don't know, 35 years now. But that's how it happened. Prayer is a very important thing. The problem with prayer is, and we ought always to pray and not to faint. We are always to pray and not give up. On the other hand, God has given our kids their own free will. Now, that's what we don't like to think about. We want to pray and think that God's going to make them do something. And I'm not convinced that's how God works. He will let a person walk away. He watched many people walk away. Jesus watched the rich young ruler walk away, didn't he?
Yeah.
In fact, Jesus watched 500 of his followers walk away. In fact, he watched every one of his disciples walk away in the ultimate glitch of his life. God will let people walk away. The question is, what are we going to do when it seems like they have? Are we going to let them go? Are we going to give up? Or what are we going to do? And you say prayer is the number one thing.
Absolutely. I know that I know it is essential. It is the essential weapon. Me personally, I began when I realized, Chuck, that this wasn't a battle against my kids. You know, it wasn't that they were just being a rebellious child or, you know, self-destructive. They were under the influence of just evil. And when I realized I was in a spiritual battle, I was in warfare with the enemy to seek, kill, and destroy their destinies, their purpose, that is when I began to learn to pray. And I prayed through the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't talk about that very much anymore, the power of the blood. And I am
thinking, well, we used to sing about it. There's power, power, power in the blood.
Yes.
We used to sing about it, that is.
Yes, power.
Now we think there's power in the internet.
Oh, terrible, terrible. So anyway, I would literally draw a cross in my mind with the blood of Christ on each one of my children, and I would say, Father God, in the name of Jesus and the power of his blood, I first ask for protection, because I'm telling you, the two boys, I had learned that their frontal lobe doesn't develop till they're 25. So I would say, Lord, keep them alive till they're 25.
Well, that's why we lawyers wanted to make sure that people that write a will manage to put their resources in trust until their kids attain the age of 25.
That's right, because they really clearly, scientifically, do not have that logic frontal lobe. And then I would also pray the second prayer through the blood of Christ, would be, Lord, give them your wisdom.
Right.
I knew when God downloaded his wisdom to each one of them that they would be forever changed. And like I said, Stephen took 15 years. Lawson took about 4.5 to 5 years. And then Kaylee was pretty quick. Hers was a different challenge. Hers was, being a woman, being a young girl, about 17 or 18, she just battled voices in her head that said life would be better without her in it. And
Whoa.
And she finally confessed to a friend, hey, I've got these thoughts. And they grabbed hands. Thank God it was a godly friend. They grabbed hands and began to pray. And Kaylee said, Mom, I felt the presence of God immediately. He dried my tears, and I felt this warmth from my head to my toes. And I knew it was God just enveloping me and loving me. And truly, Chuck, she was never the same again.
Mm. Well, that's a wonderful story. And how old are those kids today?
Yeah, so Kaylee's 30. Lawson's 31, and Stephen just turned 34.
Wow. So they're all millennials, pretty much. And you have two grandchildren, is that right?
I do. I'm Lala. I've got a little girl named Elle Lively and a little boy named David Warner.
So you live in La-La Land then?
I wish.
Okay, so they
really.
is that what they call grandparents down there? Lala.
No.
I see Nana. I see Grandma. I never heard of Lala.
Yeah. Well, isn't that wonderful? It fits perfect. It's Lala. Yeah.
Well, that's because you're Lane Lawson. That's Lala.
That's right.
There
that's
you go.
Right.
I just figured that out. Okay.
Yes.
Now. The Bible says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. John, the beloved, wrote that, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And we used to sing a song like that, faith is the victory that overcomes the world.
Yes.
Well, everybody talks about being a person of faith these days, but it almost means nothing the way they talk. In other words, what they mean is, I have spiritual feelings. I realize I'm a spiritual being, so I'm a person of faith. I don't use that terminology. Never do I use it, because that's not the way the Bible uses the word faith. Faith has to do with a direct connection with God through Jesus Christ, so that we put a complete confidence and a trust in him, come what may, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Isn't faith the substance of things that we have yet to see?
Well, it is. Absolutely. And believe it or not, a lot of people aren't aware of this, but there are three words that are unique to the Christian faith, shall we say. One is the word faith, one is the word believe, and the other is trust. And every single one of those words comes from the same root word. So you can't have faith without belief, and you can't have belief without trust, and you can't have trust without faith. In other words, they all work synergetically together, so you can't just say, I'm a person of faith. It doesn't mean anything. You have to truly believe, you have to trust, and if you don't trust, you don't believe. That's the Hebrew version of those words, and we'll get back to the implication and application of that, because if we're going to wage warfare on behalf of prodigal kids, those three things are going to have to be completely operative in mom and dad's or grandparents' lives, I think. All right, the book, Friends, The Parents' Battle Plan, $13 will put in your hands on our website, saveus.org. Get your copy. You're not going to be disappointed.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. This conversation is always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and I trust today will serve as that impetus in your own life. You may have a daughter, a son, a grandchild, somebody that is precious to you that is walking not the narrow path, but is walking the broadway that leads to destruction. And there are many on that broadway, and you're very, very concerned, maybe even feeling desperate. And that's why, as our guest says, trusting God in circumstances like this can be very difficult. Doubt and skepticism are most prevalent components that creep into our mind and heart and leave us in a state of distrust. You know what distrust is? It's dissing trust. That's what it is. It's dissing trust. And friends, we can't allow that to happen. So here's the test, Lane. How do we continue to trust when everything in us in the natural says it's no good, hope is lost, they're too far gone?
Well, as I stated earlier, I learned to wait on God expectantly. That's where my faith was built, because mm-hmm. I said, and again, you know, God had come in and resurrected our marriage, 17 years in our marriage. So that was the anchor when God had moved in so mightily in that marriage restoration. That was the anchor to believe that he would do it for our children.
Okay, now this is very important that you bring that up. Very, yes. Very important, because what yes. you're just saying is God took you and your husband through a test.
Yes.
And as a result of that test, faith was the victory as you pressed on in belief, in hope, trusting and obeying. And God gave you that victory, and out of that test came a testimony that you're now able to be as an anchor for your kids and now with the kids of others that you're now testifying about.
Absolutely, and 100%, yes. And so, you know, that's a lot of why I did write this Warfare Parenting, the daily battle plan to fight for your child, because I had, about 10 years ago, the Lord just told me to turn everything off and just turn into the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have read through the Bible so many times in the last 10 years, from Genesis to Revelation. And uh-huh. 1 year specifically, Chuck, he asked me every day, pull a scripture for a parent or grandparent or loved one, a prodigal, that will bring them their faith to a new level, give them hope that I'm real and moving. And so this Warfare Parenting, it is 365 days mm-hmm. of a Word of God, a devotion, and a prayer.
All right, so now what we're talking about is the second book, which is a beautiful little a white,
leather,
beautiful leather handbook, prayerful Warfare Parenting, a daily battle plan to fight for your child. And so you've written this as a daily plan of encouragement that somebody can pick this up and be encouraged every day, even when they're feeling down. Is that right? Well, something very interesting happened here, and we'll see what happens. Are we reconnected with Lane? We are not. Okay, well, Lane? I am not sure what has happened here, but we'll continue on here, and I'll fill in the gaps here until such time as we can reconnect, because, quite frankly, yours truly and my wife have an awful lot to share and experiences in this regard. You see, one of my wife's favorite words these days, and has been for the past 2 or 3 years, is the word surrender. And interestingly, our special guest talks about that, the significance of surrender. All to Jesus I surrender, we used to sing, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live, I surrender all. Well, what's the significance of that then? Well, I would say the significance of that would be that in the glitches of life, and I'm going to try as we're speaking here to connect in with our guest, the significance of that would be that when everything is going odd and backwards with our kids, we need to surrender them to the Lord. Lane, are you there?
I am. And that was just, look, are you? Can you believe? I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened.
Well, that's all right. You don't have to be sorry. It just happens. That's what technology does with live broadcasting. So I'm filling in the gap, and we're talking about surrender, one of my wife's favorite words now. We just lost her again. I'm not sure why that would be, but we did. And the word surrender is a critical word. We'll try one more time and see what will happen here. She's probably trying to call in any event. Okay, why is surrender so important? Surrender is important because if we don't surrender, then we're taking the reins. And when we're taking the reins, we're not trusting. You see, when we're not trusting, then we shifted the trust from the Lord to ourselves, and that's where things start going south really fast. Because the flesh then gets involved. When the flesh gets involved, we're in trouble. When the flesh, our flesh, gets involved, then we're in trouble. And things begin to heat up. And instead of things being resolved and giving the ability for the Lord to work through patience, we start hyperventilating and trying to fix it. So we become the Holy Ghost fix-it agents. The problem is that we need the Holy Spirit to pierce through the din in the minds and hearts of our young people so that God can get their attention while you and I are triangulating with him through prayer and surrendering. Remember, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. So what Lane was suggesting here, in fact, she wasn't just suggesting it, she said, look, I came to the point where I had to spend quality time in the Word every day. I had to realize that I had to spend quality time in the Word of God every day. Well, I came to that realization 55 years ago. That's right, it was about 55 years ago. And it was also in the context of a our marriage wasn't breaking up, but my wife had come to me one day and she said, Chuck, I don't have any more feelings for you, and it scares me. Well, the reason is because we were so busy. I was in law school at the evening, also working full-time, putting my wife through college, and where was the time for us to have good, kind fellowship together? It just wasn't there. So obviously, her feelings were lacking then. And I could have responded and said, well, you know what? That's the way it is. That's the way you feel. I'm not that way. So we'll just do the best we can. But I didn't. The Holy Spirit touched my heart, said, no, I want you to spend quality time in my word every day from now on. So I made a vow to the Lord, knowing that if I made a vow, I couldn't break it because God says, better that you not vow than that you vow and not pay. Don't say before the angel you made a mistake or it was an error. Don't do that. So I knew that if I vowed, I was going to keep that vow no matter what. And I have. Every single day for the past 55 years since I made that vow. Actually, I'm trying to think, maybe it's closer to 50 years. 50 years. Yeah, I've been around a while. 50 years. Okay. That's half a century. And you may think, well, no, there's no way that you've kept that vow. Yes, I have. I've kept the vow when we were on vacation. I've kept the vow when I had to be out in a different city or something. How did I keep the vow? I kept it with my wife. I would call her on the phone, and together we would share. We would read the Word of God together. We would discuss it. We would pray and so on. We've done that together for 30 years. And before that, for 20 years, I did it myself. Every single day, no matter what. If I had to get up at 5 in the morning to do it, that's what I did. So God did, through that vow and their commitment, what otherwise I could not do in the flesh. And it was within 30 days that our marriage began to be restored in ways that Kathy actually felt. So she came to me one day, she says, Chuck, I don't understand it, but you're my best friend. Who knows? You see, God has his way of working, and he can do that with our kids. Now, we're involved in situations as we speak where the number one prayer in our lives today has to do with one particular arena of our family, extended family. And we had the same kind of concerns that Lane Lawson Kraft has described with her kids. And so we pray and we trust and we do whatever we can to be available. But we realize that the battle is not ours in and of itself. The battle ultimately is the Lord's. So we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep trusting. We're going to keep obeying. We're going to stay available, and we're going to surrender. We're going to continue to surrender, because otherwise we're going to try to take charge and it ain't going to go so well. It just isn't going to go so well. So I wanted to share those things with you. Don't know why. We have been disconnected 3 times now from our guest, whether it's on her end or our end or some technological glitch out there, we just don't know. So we pick up live broadcasting, and this is a subject on my heart. That's why I chose to do this program with our special guest, Lane Kraft. Get a copy of her book, The Parent's Battle Plan. It's going to encourage your heart. $13 will put it in your hands. On our website, saveus.org, you can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministry. It has $6 for closing your family. And when we get back, we're going to talk more about the warfare of parenting, daily battle plan for your fight for your child.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
When the battle gets tough, the tough get going, and parents are struggling, grandparents are struggling, yes, even Christian grandparents and parents are struggling, pastors are struggling with their kids. This is a period of time. It's always been this way to some extent, but it's even the more so now with the complication and overlay of technology in so very many ways that enter through the back door of our homes, into the minds and hearts of our kids, and distort life and seduce them into ways that are not healthy. They're not spiritually healthy. They're not physically healthy. They're not emotionally healthy. And there's a war between or with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Right now, as I'm writing in my 12th book, the first three chapters have to do with this battle. The war of the first against the world, and then the flesh, and then the devil. What does that look like? What does that battle look like? How do we wage that war, and why do we lose that war? Now, all of that is part of this situation that we find ourselves in with our children and grandchildren. Warfare strategies to win back your prodigal, and prodigal can be seem to be more extreme with some than with others. We do know that the prodigal son, remember, came from a relatively wealthy family, and he asked his father for his inheritance. He wanted to go out and spend it. Well, the elder son stayed at home and worked and was diligent and faithful. So the prodigal goes off and he spends everything he has. All of the father's savings and so on, he spends it in riotous living. In other words, he goes crazy, like a lot of our kids do, spending it on drugs, spending it on alcohol, spending it on porn, spending it on who knows what. And they waste it. Well, that prodigal son had to go to the bottom of the barrel. He actually ended up in such a severe situation that he was having to eat pig slop. And so he came to his recognition, even my father's servants are better off than I am. So he determined to go home and try to become a servant. And when his father saw him afar off, he ran and greeted him, hugged him, brought him home, killed the fatted calf, so to speak. They had a celebration. Now, did that father run after his son? No. The father did not run after his son. Why? Because if the father had run after his son, it would have pushed the son further away. Now, a lot of people are saying that Jesus is running after you. I disagree. Jesus, the father's hand is reached out still, but he says, you return to me, and then I'll return to you. That's what the message of the Bible is. You return to me, and then I will return to you. Preachers are teaching a false message that God is out there running after. No, he is waiting patiently for you to come home. So we used to have a song. They called it an invitation home. Come home, come home. Ye that are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is waiting. Not running, waiting. Sinner, oh sinner, come home. That's you and I stand in the place of Jesus and of the Father with hands reached out, but we're not running after them because you will push them away. So what do we do? As Lane Craft told us in the first half of the program, she called it the meantime. In other words, what happens between when you pray and say amen and you get the answer? In other words, the time of waiting. What do you do? Well, one of the things you do is keep on praying and surrendering. Keep on believing, trusting, living by faith, trusting, confiding in Jesus alone, surrendering, and then we continue to press on patiently. Patiently. For we have need of patience that after we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise. So cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need, we have need of patience that we might receive the promise. That's what we do. We press on, we surrender, we live in by patience and perseverance. We don't give up. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, and moms and dads have to press on by faith, being tough-minded and tender-hearted, and we do so with patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you and I might be complete, lacking in no thing, lacking in nothing. Now, here's the problem. An awful lot of parents get engaged in what I call enablement. They're so interested in trying to make their child feel good or feel better in the situation that they become enablers. Some parents will provide drugs to their kids because they realize they're addicted. Some will provide alcohol. Some will, who knows what, all kinds of ways you enable your kid. God doesn't do that. God does not enable us to do contrary to his will. Neither should we. That is not love. You see, the Bible says if you will not discipline your child, you don't love them. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And if you don't do that, you don't love your child. You're an enabler. And so, right now, as we speak, we're seeing situations, grave, grave situations, where parents have refused to embrace what God said about parenting. Literally refused. Said, I want to love my children. I don't want to spank them. I don't want to discipline them. I just want to love them. So what they tried to do is seduce the favor of their children, so that ultimately the children look back and they say, you didn't parent us, and they hate the parents for it. Wow. You see, we've got to agree with God. That's part of our battle plan. It really is. That's part of our battle plan. You can't wage this war in the battle of feelings. Feelings will deceive you. They're fickle. This is a battle for genuine faith. And faith is taking God at his word. It really is. Faith is always taking God at his word. So, the first book, The Parent's Battle Plan, Warfare Strategies to Build to Win Back Your Prodigal, $13 on our website. Then, Lane's secondary book, Warfare Parenting, A Daily Battle Plan to Fight for Your Child. This is something you keep right there on your nightstand or your coffee table or whatever. You go to it every single day. Every single day, and you read the encouragement that comes for that day. It's a beautiful little book. $14 will put this book in your hands. This is the second one. It's an $18 book. It's for $14 on our website, saveus.org. Now, if you get that book by itself, $14 plus $6 postage and handling. If you want both of the books, The Parent's Battle Plan, which is the primary book, and then Warfare Parenting, which is the daily battle plan to fight for your child, then you've got $13 plus $14. That's $27. $6 for postage and handling for the first book and only $2 for the second book. So a total of $8 postage and handling plus $27. That comes to $35 for both of the books. So I think you'll find that this will be a lifeline. a lifeline. I remember back a few years when we were experiencing some very severe situations in families out there, and I remembered a song that we used to sing when I was a kid. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. So you know what I did? I went out to a marine shop, not the Marines, but a boating shop, and purchased a big white lifesaver that you would have on a boat to throw out to lifeline. I purchased that for the express purpose of showing a family what God wanted to do if only they would respond. To throw out the lifeline to them. God had his ways and his plan to bring healing and restoration to the family, but they had to be willing to grasp the lifeline. Are you? Are you willing to grasp the lifeline? Are you sure? Because quite frankly, this is warfare. You want to talk about spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is not primarily fighting with demons out there in the wild blue yonder. It's dealing with the demons in the minds and hearts of human beings. I'm not talking about demon possession per se. I'm talking about the world, the flesh, and the devil, and how they work to destroy. The enemy comes both to steal and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why we're doing the program here today. God is a father, and he's concerned about your kids because they're his kids. At least he enabled them to be given life. Now what are you going to do about it? What are mom and dad's grandparents going to do now that they have life, physical life? Ultimately, we want them to return to the fold. As Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Notice he didn't say, I'm chasing you down. Come unto me. The Father said over and over again, you return to me, and I'll return to you. Let's pray that for our children, our grandchildren, our sons and our daughters, and yes, even for our spouses. Tough talk for troubled times, but it also requires a tough mind and a tender heart. That's what God calls for us. A tough mind and tender heart. Thanks for joining us here on the program today. Again, the two books, The Parent's Battle Plan, Warfare Strategies to Win Back Your Prodigal, $13. Warfare Parenting, the devotional book, $14. So together, if you want both of them, $27. $8 postage and handling for the two. Otherwise, at $6 postage and handling for one book, you decide which one. All right, thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friends. Thanks for coming along with us here. It's tough, friends. It's like paddling a canoe straight up Niagara Falls. It really is. Pray for us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries. Do it today. The other guy's not doing it. He's not. I'll bet God has spoken to you. Maybe you haven't responded. How about doing it today?
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.